Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Tim. The young ladies and young men may go out to their class. I see people fanning themselves. Is it too warm in here? Tim, would you turn the fans on? Let's circulate a little air. There we go. Maybe that will help. Okay? Very good. Now, I want to share with you this morning a true story from the history of Israel. And there is a purpose for that. And so I would like to ask you turn to 2 Kings, that's in the Old Testament near the front of the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to look at an event that occurred in Israel. And it caused me to do some thinking. And I hope it will cause you to do some thinking. There are questions that we sometimes need to answer. And so I hope that God put this in Scripture for a purpose. And I hope that this morning His purpose is accomplished. I'm going to read the whole passage. It's six verses long, but it is a lengthy passage. So read along with me, if you will. It's 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Father, as we look into your word now, may the purpose for which you placed it there be obtained. You have promised that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which you have sent it forth. So this morning we pray that your word will accomplish what needs to be accomplished in the hearts of your people, and that you will be glorified, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have another question for you. You know how I love questions. I love questions. I have another question for you. And I'm sure that at some point in everybody's life, they consider this question. How much more time do you want the Heavenly Father to give you? Didn't see that coming, did you? How much more time would you like the Heavenly Father to give you to live? Now, Hezekiah was the king. He was sick unto death. Hezekiah was a good king, and he feared the Lord God. He didn't want to die of his illness, and he prayed to the Lord. Look at verse 5. God heard Hezekiah's prayers, and he saw Hezekiah's tears. Now,
us.
Remember Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He heard Hezekiah. What does that tell you? Hezekiah did not have iniquity in his heart. Hezekiah had been serving the Lord faithfully, the very best he knew how. He had been in, the Lord had been his priority. Tim talked about priorities this morning a little bit in Sunday school, and that is important. The priorities in our life, they should be different than the world's priorities. Our priorities should be with our Lord, with our God, and what he wants. So, Hezekiah prayed. He did not want to die. Not because of selfish reasons. He wanted to be able to continue to serve the Lord. Now, I've read and I've spoken Psalm 66, 18. You all know what the verse is. But I want to back up a couple of verses and read that whole passage so we can take it in context this morning. Psalm 66, 16 through 20. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled by my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Then verse 19, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. God heard Hezekiah's prayer. And he will hear your prayers. If you do not regard iniquity in your heart. Now, question. Why do you think that the Lord gave Hezekiah 15 more years? And I'd be surprised if any of us wanted to go home this morning. I would be surprised. It's like money. You always want a little bit more. Time. You always want a little bit more. Now, yes, I know people who have gotten to the point where they don't want any more time because of it not having quality and being in pain or being sick or something like that. That was not the case here. Hezekiah wanted more time to serve the Lord. Now, I would like more time to serve the Lord. And I'm sure that many of you are the same way. You have things you would like to do for the Lord. And Hezekiah did. And the fact that Isaiah had come to him and says, okay, you're all done. Your time has run out. Get ready. Get your house in order. He said, no, not yet. I've still got plans. But they weren't personal plans. They were plans as to how the Lord could use him. Now, he had plans, and the Lord's plan didn't fit his plan. The Lord said, you're coming home. Hezekiah said, no, I'm not ready. Now, I believe that Hezekiah was a good king, that he was a worshiper of the Lord. I also believe that he had been doing exactly what the Lord had wanted him to do, because the Lord heard his prayer and answered it. Now think about that verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord heard Hezekiah. What kind of prayers do you have that you want the Lord to hear? What kind of prayer is so important to you that if the Lord doesn't hear it, it will break your heart? That's what life is all about. I'm not trying to be mean or ghoulish, but one of the purposes of the Christian church is to cause the people to think about spiritual things. And that's what we're going to do this morning. That's what we're going to do again tonight, Lord willing. If he gives us tonight, if he doesn't come back and take us. I won't mind not being able to preach the message tonight if I'm with him and us and you folks. But just in case, we have a job to do here. So I'm not trying to be ghoulish. You see, most of us don't live in the same fashion that Hezekiah did. He was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. So when he asked for more time, God gave it to him because he knew he would do what God wanted. Does God know that about any of us? Does he know what we will do if he gives us more time? I'm sure that Hezekiah did all this, the normal things that people do. He hugged the grandkids. He was glad to have his family around him. He ate, sometimes overate, with the family and fellowship, just like we do. But Hezekiah's priorities were God. Now we come to the personal part of this. If you knew that this was going to be your last day on earth, why would you want more time? If you knew this was to be your last day on earth, why would you want more time? And I'm not ready is the wrong answer. It might be the true answer, but it's the wrong one. As we all sit here, we each have a certain amount of time given to us by the Lord. And none of us right now know when that is or when that's going to come to an end. We make assumptions that we're going to be around, you know, next weekend. But we don't know that. But God knows exactly how long each of us are going to live. And for some time, for some, the time might be abbreviated because we're doing something that's not in our best interest. You know, we have a choice in the matter. That was the title of the message this morning. If you had a choice, this morning, how much longer would you like to live? And why? Those are hard questions, folks. Those are spiritual questions. They're questions that we all have to answer for ourselves. And I can't tell you what kind of answer you need to give, or you can't tell me what kind of an answer I need to give. But there is a certain amount of time given to each one of us. And if we had a choice in the matter, if we had a choice, how much longer would you like to live? Now, I have really thought about that. I would love to be able to stand here at this pulpit 4 years from now and preach a message and have it be coherent, reasonable, and appropriate. I would love to be able to do that. And so that is sort of my plan. I don't know what the Lord's plan is, but that's mine. And you have plans, each one of you. You've got things that you want to do. You've got children you want to love on. You've got grandchildren. You've got friends. We want to fellowship with. We've got a church family. I want to fellowship with you folks until the day I go home. And if I take a shower occasionally, maybe you want to fellowship with me. I'd be grateful if each of us took the necessary time to think about how we're spending the time that we are being given. That's awfully important, people. We know right now if we're living in the Lord's work or what percentage of our life is being spent that way. How much of your life do you think you spend for the Lord? I want to share some statistics with you. It may surprise you, maybe not. But if we were to ask by passing out blank slips of paper and I had you write down a percentage, what kind of percentage do you think you spend of your life for the Lord? And in most cases when this has been done, people write in about 65%. That's the average people think they spend for the Lord of their life. Actually, it's below 15%. So when we look at life that way, it takes on a whole new complexion. It might be that we want to rearrange things so that things are a little different. Let me share with you. If a person spends 3 hours a week, that means they attend all three services a week. Not counting the back and forth, the 3 hours that we are here, that would be 1.78% of your life. Less than 2%. Now, if you take time for transportation to and from those three services, that takes it up to 2% of your life is being spent for the Lord. My, that's a lot, isn't it? Now, if a person wanted to take the time of preparation, getting ready to go to church and things, it gets up to 3.58%. Now, do you know what that tells me? If a person wants to add that preparation time to their time for the Lord, it means that they know they're not spending enough time for the Lord. They're convicted that they're not spending the proper time. Let's say that they spend an hour each day praying. Add that to the three services a week. An hour a day. Now we're up to 4.2% of your life spent for the Lord. That's not even a tithe of the time the Lord gives us. I want to be sure that you understand that I'm not being critical. I'm no way being critical of any of you or myself. I want to show you what percentage of your life might be being used for the Lord. At best, most Christians, if they are very active in their church, spend 7.78% of their life for the Lord. Now, how much is he worth? How much is he worth to you? Is he important? Of course he is. I know he is. Every one of you, especially if you're saved. Now, God is merciful. He loves his children. There are times when we seek a solution for a problem we're having, and we go to the Lord. And Hezekiah, when he was told by Isaiah his time was up, what do you think made him sad? I don't know for sure because I wasn't there. But I think that it was Hezekiah would not be permitted to serve the Lord anymore. Let's look at the rest of the story. and see if we can't find a satisfying answer as to why Hezekiah wanted more time. 2 Kings 20, verses 7 through 11. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Hezekiah says, with every prophecy in the Old Testament, folks, there was always a sign. If it was a prophet of God, he always gave a sign. And if the sign came true, then the prophecy would come true. If the sign did not come true, they killed the prophet. We ought to do that today in the churches, you know. Weed out a few preachers. But verse 9, Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Okay, he gives Hezekiah a choice. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord and brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. They didn't have clocks, they had sundials. God gave him a choice. Does the shadow go forward with the movement of the sun, or does it go back 10 degrees? I want you to think about this. God moved the shadow back 10 degrees. Now that's about 42 minutes. God changed the course of the universe. There's two ways that God could have accomplished this. Well, the first way would be if God stopped everything, brought it to a halt. I don't know if it was throw people around like stepping on the brakes in your bus or a car or whatever. Or God could do one other thing. And that this would affect the entire universe because all the planets are balanced in their orbits. And if God changed just one, it would affect every other planet in the universe. God didn't do that. God did something much simpler, but only God could do it. What he did, he turned, while the earth was moving in its orbit around the sun in relationship to all the other planets, he simply rotated it backward 10 degrees. And the shadow moved back. And they actually know that there's an extra 40 minutes in history that they can't account for. But you just heard it. And this was to prove to Hezekiah that he had 15 more years. Can you imagine God loving somebody that much? That he would change the rotation of the earth, that he would do that for someone. God knew that Hezekiah would continue to serve him. God knew that Hezekiah would continue to make him the priority in his life. Would God know that about any of us? Would God be the priority of our life? Now, here comes the interesting part. Look what God did for a sign. There were many other things he could have done, but he turned the earth backwards in its rotation. What would he do for you if you, with no iniquity in your heart, went to him and asked him to do something for you. What might you ask? I can think of a lot of things, a lot of possibilities. But I think that because Hezekiah was very special to God, because he was so faithful, that if we as a people, as God's children, were faithful to our Father as completely as Hezekiah was, that this would be some kind of a ministry. It's amazing what God could do. He did it with just one Hezekiah. He didn't stop there. Assyria was coming down and they were going to overrun Israel. They were going to take Israel captive. They were going to destroy the people. They were going to take some of them as slaves if they were healthy. And the rest of them they were going to put to death. And they were on their way down there, and Hezekiah had no way to defend himself. And God said, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of this for you. And he did. He did. He turned the Assyrian army back. God did, not man. God did. And God wants to do the same thing for you if you will simply exercise faith. God stopped the earth, turned it back. God stopped the Assyrians. What does he need to stop for you? What does he need to do for you? And I know everybody sitting here this morning has some kind of a special prayer request that is on your heart. It may be what we can call an unspoken request that we can't share with anybody else because God knows what it is, but we don't want anybody else to know. And will God respond to your request? And in what way will he respond to your request? I believe that God did this for Hezekiah because he was spending so much time serving the Lord. Some of you, I have observed, some of you have gotten involved. You came and you were attending services, and then you began to say, well, I can help here or I can help there. And some of you are spending several hours a week involved. I don't know how many hours Diana spends sorting food back there and putting food in the box for the people. We watched a lady this morning, A.B. and I, came in with a red bag, and she was just taking stuff out of that box, loading up the bag. We're feeding some families. There's some families out there. She was in an older car. She was not in a bright, shiny new vehicle. We're feeding families because the Lord said, feed them. And some of you ladies who are helping in this are taking a lot more time than you intended to. And I'm so glad. How much time do we owe the Lord? If we owe him a tithe, if we owe him a tithe of our money, we owe him a tithe of our time. And folks, that's many hours. I don't remember, at one time, 128 hours a week? Is that what the Lord gives us? 7 times 24. Okay, anyway. We owe the Lord a lot of time. And if we're faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to us. And there's some impossible things that you and I need to ask him for. Impossible. We can't do them. But he can. and he will, if we are faithful to him. Hezekiah, when he was told that his time was up, he turned his face to the wall. He called out to God for more time. God saw his tears of sincerity. And they weren't tears of self-pity. They were tears of a desire to serve. When's the last time you shed tears for God? When is the last time you shed tears for not being able to do what God wants you to do? Hezekiah spent a lot of his time serving the Lord. How much of your time are you serving? You may not want to know. You may be disappointed. You may say, "Boy, I spent all my life working for the Lord. You know, all week long, I'm going for the Lord." If you were approached by a prophet of God or an angel of God this afternoon, and he said, "Get your house in order," how much more time would you like? How much more time would you need? Father, I know that our time is in your hand. And Father, that you have appointed us a certain time. And Father, we would ask that in the time that you have allotted to us, that we might be faithful in our service to you. May your will be our will. May your purpose be our purpose. And Father, may you be glorified by what we do with the time you give us. And Father, we will praise you because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.